Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's 4 o'clock on the number one sports talk show for your drive home.
Ice Cube joins us, guys, live here on the waitfor.com hotline.
What's up with Westbrook and AD always being hurt, bro? What is the deal out there?
You know, we got to get more games out of AD. You know, 55 games ain't enough. We need at least, you know, 70, 75.
I think we'll see another Friday movie before we see that man play 75 games.
This is Dukes and Bell
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
He even chuckled at that because he knows.
By the way, that one is in production like limbo right now. I think Warner Brothers are monkeying around with that thing for a while now.
Chris, we got to do some fact-checking here. Bo, Val Roberts, avid listener to the show, says 24 had two black presidents. Both Palmer brothers, David and Wayne, were presidents on the show. Is that true on 24? Now, I don't know. I don't remember. I remember David.
I remember Dennis Haysbert.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
But the two, she's saying the Bo Palmer brothers. I don't remember that. All right, Val, we're going to check that out. I got to do some fact-checking, but Val wants to put it out there since we were talking about these presidents and Morgan.
Fictional Morgan black Freeman. Presidents, Morgan Freeman. Yeah. The Armageddon one was the Hollywood one that had all the craziness and the, was it Total? What was the other one that was Morgan Freeman?
Not Total Recall.
Impact.
Impact. Total Impact.
That was the one or whatever it's called that where it's more science-based. With Robert, I mean, for instance, you got like an 100-year-old Robert Duvall flying the space shuttle in that one.
Yes.
And the other one, obviously.
Very real.
You got Bruce Willis in the Aerosmith soundtrack and everything else.
It was very real. Deep Impact was the movie. Hey, man.
Totally. We're going to call it Totally Deep Impact.
Coming up, you're going to hear from Alex Anthopoulos. He was on the Steakhouse with Steak and Sandra this morning.
Betcha.
Braves general manager talking about Michael Money Harris. But he also addressed a lot of other things. You'll get a chance to hear that coming up as we get ready for Braves-Mets final game of this four-game series, man. And, you know, first two games, we crushed these guys. I mean, aggregate score, Mike, we outscored them 18-1 in the first two games. Last night, they finally got some hits, scored some runs. We had a chance to come back and win. And we didn't get it done. Tonight is a big, big game. All right, Bo, what do you got? 24, did it have two black presidents? The fictional show 24.
It did. It had President Wayne Palmer.
Okay.
Who was and also it had the very David Palmer. The Palmer brothers.
She said that.
So okay. She was dead on accurate.
Okay. I got to go back and check out 24. That was such a good show when it came on.
By the way.
Oh.
David Palmer was 2-3
in a 24-hour period.
Seasons 2 and 3.
Okay.
And the other Palmer was season 6.
Ah, okay.
See, that's why I don't remember. It was a separation.
Ah.
All right. Okay. Good job, Al. Appreciate you listening as always.
The show had jumped the shark at that point. Let's be
honest. A little bit.
Season 6?
A little bit.
Well, listen, we say this. Every show has its crescendo, right?
But again, you can start off as an outfielder who barely speaks English for the Indians and go all the way to become president. Okay. That's an American success
That
story.
Was a fictional role.
What's that?
Serrano was a fictional role.
Up your butt, Jobu.
Let's talk dogs.
Dukes and Bell on the sidelines with the dogs. The Dog Report is brought to you by Engineered Solutions of Georgia, a proud partner of the Georgia Bulldogs.
I don't know how you could not like or cheer for or root for Stetson Bennett. Stetson Bennett is on the cover of SI, and I think this is one of the coolest things, not only for the Georgia Bulldogs, but for a kid, Mike, who's overcome a lot of adversity to be where he is. Now, some people didn't think he was going to come back after winning the national championship. Oh, just go off into the sunset. You can't top this. You can't do any better than this. He might. He might come back, Mike, and win another one, which would even add to more of the lore of what Stetson Bennett has been at Georgia. But when we talk about Georgia becoming a national power, go back 7-8 years ago and think about the idea that a Georgia quarterback would be on the cover of Sports Illustrated, Mike, after winning a national championship.
Right.
I don't know if a lot of people would have said that because we were so down on the fact that Georgia would never win a national championship. So congratulations to Stetson, the Dog football program being represented. But if you read this story, and it's out there, guys, I tweeted it at Put 'Em Up, C. Dukes. The cover is out there. I just love the inspiring story that Stetson Bennett. And I said this, Mike, the more and more I hear from him, and I love this kid.
I just don't know how some Georgia fans can root against him. It's funny, we kind of got into this conversation the last 2 weeks on Dukes and Bell about Todd Monken kind of sick and tired of hearing about he's not dynamic with his offense. Well, again, after the forward pass fumble, call it what you will, and then Alabama takes the lead in the championship game, they went 5 straight pass plays in a row, including 2nd and 18 that goes for the touchdown. So, I mean, Monken certainly had the faith in this guy. And the question, the SI article gets into his upbringing, the drinking the whiskey, the whole shebang after winning the championship. It's a really cool article in SI. But now the question is, with a defense which isn't as good as last year, can he repeat? I mean, I just think Georgia is certainly, guys, barring some crazy circumstances where that would mean injuries that were unforeseen and the secondary collapsing, which I don't see that happening either. This is a team, because of the schedule, should be able to punch its ticket to the SEC championship. And then there, anything's possible.
Yeah, and by the way, if he doesn't win it, they don't win it again, okay, for whatever reason and whatever happens, he's still a champion. He's still a guy that brought a chip to the school. He's still a guy in wearing a Georgia uniform that is the first quarterback since 1980 to win a championship. He's still a big deal. I just think the story in itself for him to come back is unique and different because, hey, I'm gonna run this thing back. And it's funny because the article talks about, you know, with the haters in the rear view, basically the doubters. I don't know if that's the case. I hope whatever pushes Stetson Bennett to be great again, Mike, whatever that drive is, and you've heard Kirby say this. Guys, he would always play the scout team quarterback when they were getting ready for opponents, and he'd be eating the first team defense up. I've had conversations with guys that played against Stetson at Georgia, and they would be like, dude, we couldn't stop him in scout team. So, you know, he got the eye of the coaches enough for them to say, well, maybe we try to play this guy a little bit. And he's taking advantage of it. But this article is really good. It's cool. And, again, all the way around win for the Georgia Bulldogs.
And that was the thing. It was the ultimate underdog. I'm going to have to remind dog fans, but the ultimate underdog story for everything he went through, from being the walk-on to saying, I'm out of here. And then remember all the nonsense that happened, the lost COVID year when there was a Jamie Newman they brought in from Wake Forest, only for him to drop out. And then the field – I mean, all the things that happened over the years where he kind of felt like he was just kind of getting from knocked from pillar to post – but he stayed with it. It's an amazing story. When he was about to go to Louisiana Lafayette, and Georgia says, no, we'll give you a scholarship. And his parents are like, man, you're going to do some soul searching on this one, because do you feel you're going to go right back in the meat grinder just to come out and never get a chance to start and then to win the national championship? With everyone doubting, from us to Dog Nation after that horrible SEC championship game, it's amazing, Carl. It truly is. One of the best stories in college football.
All right, let us know what you think when it comes to this story, or more importantly, your opinions of Stetson Bennett. Have they changed? Don't you feel more confident? I mean, didn't the national championship do something for your opinions about him?
You'd think.
I would think, Mike. We all doubt it. You know what my biggest doubt was? And if you listen to this show all the time, you know, and you heard me say this last year, can the Dogs come from behind? They got into the SEC championship game, and they couldn't do it. And I said, do you want a rematch? And people ate me up, Mike. You're crazy. Of course we want a rematch. We can beat them. But my fear was, if you got down to Alabama, were you going to be able to come back? Were you going to be dynamic enough to let Stetson shine? Mike just told you, go back and remember what happened when they get down in that game and how they went. Stetson, let loose. They threw the ball vertically. They let him play, and he made plays for them.
2nd and 18, 40-yard touchdown. So, I mean, guys, I know you want that we want. Everybody wants. You want to look like whatever you think the sexiest team is. You know, the sexiest team was Trevor Lawrence a couple of years ago. Then the sexiest team was Joe Burrow, right, with LSU. And you could argue it's been, you know, Georgia. But they're doing it with, a trademark defense. Their calling card is their defense. But the offense certainly has all the weapons, the best tight ends in the country. That's why I think you should be really excited. It may be a different road to the college football playoff. And there might be some games that are going to be a lot tighter in the regular division play than they were last year. But you can get there.
All right, let me ask you this. We talk about all these other guys in NIL. You just told me about Bryce Young, right? He's got all these deals. Now, he is the Heisman winner, and I get that. Shouldn't Stetson Bennett have like 8 NIL deals?
He's got a bunch.
Huh?
He does have a bunch. He's driving a Ford Raptor.
That's a nice
truck. He's got the nice truck.
That's a nice truck. That's a sweet truck.
Squid Billy just went, what?
Yeah, it's a sweet truck.
You know how much that truck cost?
No, I'm not in his business like that, Squid.
No, I'm talking about a Ford Raptor, not Stetson's. Oh. That's a $120,000 truck.
There's a bunch of those, and not to put the Falcons player's business out there, but it was about four of those in the Falcon player parking lot.
Those are sweet trucks, no doubt. You know I'm a truck guy. I love the Raptor, man. But, yeah, I just – my thing is, don't you think his profile would be bigger after winning the national championship? That's what I'm saying.
It's his nature.
It is?
He's making money, but they're little regional – not little, but they're regional endorsements for him, which is kind of cool. I mean, Dollar Shave Club for Bryce Young.
Bryce Young, yeah.
But Stetson is, again, all these guys, as Kirby alluded to at the SEC the SEC media days, everybody's making some money, especially the guys that are coming back from the championship team.
You can't get them for around $80,000.
Fully loaded?
No, I think the fully loaded one's $122,000.
All right.
Somebody at the Falcons got a lift kit on that thing, those digital lights. Oh, it's like unbelievable.
Yeah, it is. His teammate, by the way, talking about Stetson Bennett, it's in the article. Go check it out at SI.com. He says, the most blunt way I can say this is Stetson had a blank you attitude. And it was awesome.
Right.
That's why he won. All right, guys, we got more to get to. Alex Anthopoulos stopped by the steakhouse today. What did he have to say about Money Mike, his new deal, and everything else in regard to the Braves? You'll hear it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I want to remind you guys to check out. It is baseball's unofficial rule book. It's called Unwritten. It's a podcast, guys, hosted by Ron Darling and Jimmy Rollins. It looks at all the secrets and not-so-secret guidelines that big leaguers follow. It's cool, and you can check it out free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. We are going to get into Alex Anthopoulos, who stopped by the steakhouse today with Steak and Sandra. Guy Talk is on the way, guys, and also more on Deshaun Watson. It's official, 11 games, $5 million fine for Deshaun Watson. It's done, and we now know what that's going to look like. Mike and I will talk more about that. But Alex came on the steakhouse today and was talking about, Mike, ironically, how he was enjoying and listening to the best sports radio station in town, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
I was driving into work, getting ready to go for the Mike Harris press conference, and I listened to sports radio, and I turned on the game, and you guys were on. And the segment you had where you talked about you were going out to dinner, and they had the Rays and the Yankees on, and you're like, how is the Braves game not on? We're fighting for first place and so on. And that's a total pet peeve of mine. Is I never have the guts to say anything because I can't, I think, in my position. But I was so excited that you're fighting the good fight on behalf of the teams, because there's so many times where I'm, whether it's a Hawks game or Falcons game and so on, I never understand why the local teams are not on if there's a game on.
Well, so. I appreciate it. It should just be a given as part of your role as a bartender if there are TVs. You know, we're not there to watch the Lifetime Channel, and we're definitely not there to watch, no disrespect to your Toronto Blue Jays back in the day, but we're there to have the local teams on.
Yep.
And it made me crazy, especially when it's like, you know, well, we were going to put it on. No, like, have it on, like, start at 6:30, 7 o'clock, and there's no thinking about it twice, right?
I totally agree. And I know, I know you guys are obviously huge Atlanta sports fans, and I think that's part of just continuing to make this great city and a great place for sports teams. And I think all the teams are just, you know, the fan bases, I feel like it's starting to turn in terms of the perception of Atlanta and how good of a sports town it is.
I totally agree. We're one of the top six markets in America. We've just won two championships, and I think the passion. I mean, you build it through what happened last year, but I don't want to focus too much, even though we hadn't talked to you in a little while. I do want to focus a little bit on what you've done in the last 7 days, and then we can talk a little bit more about a few other things. But let's start with last night, though. That was a strange game for so many reasons. And one, I had an inkling at the end it may end in dramatic fashion with the Braves getting a win. What did you think of last night?
Yeah, it was tough. You know, separately, obviously there was a lot of talk last year about how we had the ice cream machine in the clubhouse. And when I was in Miami, Travis d'Arnaud came up to me and he said, could we get another soft-serve ice cream machine in the clubhouse? And I said, if you guys win 3 out of 4 against the Mets, the ice cream machine is back. So these guys were so fired up after we won the first two that, you know, tonight's obviously a big game for them. But, you know, it was close. It was exciting. Obviously, it was a tough start. And I thought the same way. I thought, you know what, we pull this game out, just the momentum and everything else. But, you know, you don't want to overweight one game, but we've been on a nice roll. We're playing well. Obviously, it's going to be tough tonight. But I think more importantly, I just felt like we got our swag back a little bit. You know, we had a rough series, obviously. We lost the 4 out of 5 in New York. And then to bounce back and end up with a 7-4 trip, to wait 8 in a row, you know, the mood and the atmosphere is really good right now with the team. So, you know, Fried will be back today, which is certainly exciting. Kyle Wright tomorrow. And getting those guys back will be big. So we're definitely excited about, you know, the remaining 6 weeks or so, and hopefully we can get a win tonight.
I don't want to tell you how to do your job, but there's already a lot of pressure on Max Fried tonight against Jacob deGrom. Do you think the ice cream machine is maybe not adding another element that could be overwhelming?
You know, I mean, I'll tell you this, like, whatever works, right? Like, I don't know what those things cost, but it's worth a win.
Yeah, all right.
So, you know, the one thing is when you look at Max, you want to talk about, you know, the biggest pressure for me was game 6 last year after, you know, you lose game 5, the momentum, there's that, oh boy, here we go again, Atlanta Sports, and you're going in to play the Astros at their park, and he steps up and has the game of his life. So the one thing with him is, you know, and he wanted this game. We certainly could have slotted him in tomorrow, but once he got cleared and he was cleared to pitch, he wanted to pitch tonight. So it's one guy you want on the mound. It's him. He's definitely been a big game guy, and he's come through for us, and it should be a whole lot of fun.
How many times and how surprised have you been over the course of the last many months how appreciative and emotional and gracious folks are that you delivered them something that they waited decades for? Were you surprised at how much it meant to people emotionally?
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. I get the chills even when you talk about it, just because I think about just like the genuine, sincere, the overall passion,
yeah.
How people just they truly thank you for, you know, bringing a championship to the city, you know, bringing them joy day in and day out. And that's the, you know, it's a little corny, but it's true. That's the most rewarding part of this job. I think when you become a GM, it's like, wow, this is great. It's the next step from AGM, and hopefully we're going to win and all those things. But I think once you see how a community can get transformed and a community can rally together and come together, and there's a sense of pride. You're instilling so much pride with the name Atlanta, with the South, with the state of Georgia, and everyone walks a little taller and feels better. And knowing that the power of sports and the power of specifically the Braves brand, and you can have an impact on that, is really incredible to see. So a lot of people, whether it's going out to eat, whether I'm at the airport, I definitely notice it more now that I say my first few years I could go wherever and no one knows who I am. And now I'm noticing a little more if I'm at the airport and so on, more people might come up to me. But everyone's always incredibly polite and very, very thankful at the same time for just the success that we've had.
Alex Anthopoulos with us, general manager of the Braves, joining us on the Steakhouse on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. When you make a decision to sign Michael Harris to the long-term deal, I'm really curious when the conversations within the organization, he gets called up early this year, he hadn't spent a ton of time in the minors, he missed an entire year because of COVID. When does it start to say we may need to do the Austin Riley, Aussie Ronald treatment? Because you have to, it's a small sample size, but you have to be confident that this is worth that kind of a commitment. How early did that conversation begin this season?
And Alex, even back to spring training, when you said yesterday, we told him we're not trading you early on.
Yeah. So, you know, since I've been here, it's only twice I've told teams that, you know, we're not trading someone. Acuna was when I first got to Atlanta, and I hadn't seen him play, but everybody told me how good he was, and it's the one guy we weren't going to talk about in trade. Everyone else, we would at least, you know, we wouldn't hang up the phone, and we'd be open-minded to hearing what a team had to say. Harris was the same one this past offseason, where he's the one guy we're not going to talk about in trade. We'll talk about anybody else, and that doesn't mean we don't value the other players. We do, and obviously there's a high bar to clear to trade certain guys, but those are the only two players I've ever said since I've been here in the 5 years. We're not talking about those guys. They're off the table. You could put those guys aside. So after we made the Olsen deal, you know, there's obviously it's in spring training. All the players are there. The prospects are there in spring training. Everyone's, you know, their head's spinning a little bit, right? Prospects are going out the door. Shea Langeliers is in camp. Some people are saying goodbyes, this and that. So I just got the sense that people are like, whoa, what just went on here? You know, these guys, it's in the middle of spring. Guys are there and so on. And I remember seeing Mike Harris. And I was just telling him, I am not trading you. You are not going anywhere. You're going to be here for a long time. And he didn't say much. He doesn't say much when you talk to him. And he just kind of gave me a blank stare. But I wanted him to know that you're a part of this, and we really believe in you. And, look, in terms of having him long term, we always believed in him. Obviously, for us to not even make him available in trade is a telling statement. So the goal was always to have him here long term. And I do believe this is where he should be. This is where he should play. It means a lot to him to be here. And obviously he's a fantastic player, you know, beyond that. But, You know, I do. Another part of the thing that I stress about at the same time is keeping the players here for, you know, the long period of time. And you have guys like Austin Riley and obviously Dansby Swanson and Harris and Max Fried and obviously the other guys that have signed like Acuna, Albies and so on. You want to be able to keep these guys long term. They're great guys. They're great players. The fans are getting attached to them as they should. And, you know, you don't want to be that team that's letting all these guys walk out the door. Now, you have to be smart about it. You have to be responsible about it. And still put a winning team on the field and make sure that it works and you could fit all these guys in because one player will not make or break you, especially in our sport when you're running out 26 guys. But I do think it's important with the way the payroll is climbing and so on and the success that we're having. Once we identify these guys and we know them, we know the character, the work ethic, and all those things, if we think we have a shot to get these guys signed long-term and they get to be here, I think it's really, really important. And those are some of the things that keep me up at night. Because you know you feel responsibility to the fan base, to the community, to the organization, to be able to keep these guys here.
A couple of quick things, finishing up with Alex Anthopoulos, who's gracious enough to join us here on the Steakhouse. You worried about Jake Odorizzi?
I mean, look, his first three starts, I mean, stating the obvious, they have not been sharp. He'd be the first one to end up telling you that. It was encouraging that he did settle down at the end. He's had success in his career. He's had a long career. He's had success. He had a 370 with the Astros before he came over. So you don't know how much a part of this is new club, new league, new, you know, just all of it getting settled in. But it was encouraging that, you know, obviously he gave up the home runs and then he did start to finally find himself a little bit and settle in. So there's no doubt he's a lot better than he's pitched in terms of his career. That goes without saying. But at the same time, you know, the facts are the facts that, you know, they haven't been strong starts. But it's certainly in there based on his career.
Any notion of what progress continues to look like for Mike Soroka and what that could mean for September and postseason?
Yeah, so we didn't know, you know, and I even told Mike, we knew we weren't going to have any answers on him at the end of July. And I told Mike that, you know, we don't know where you're going to be by the end of July. It was just too soon. So I said, I just don't know how the trade the line is going to shake out, what the roster is going to look like, what the rotation is going to look like, and so on. And he completely understood. He just knew, obviously, he needed to get right himself, and this was a long-term move for him in terms of his career going forward. And I told him, I said, we need you as much for 23 and 24 going forward. So the first outing in Rome was great, even better than I think we all would have expected. Now, you take some of it with a grain of salt because it's high A, but the people that were there said the stuff was outstanding, the strikes. And because it had been so long, I think we forgot how good he was. And this guy was, you know, Cy Young conversation 2019 and how young he still is. So, you know, the plan right now would be we're going to continue to get him stretched out, continue to give him starts. He'll get to Gwinnett and he'll pitch with them. But, you know, as he's having success and hopefully continues to have more success, if he's one of the best options for us, he's going to pitch.
Marcell Ozuna concerned, obviously, and trying to make some tough decisions postseason-wise down the line as well on him. And guys like Grissom and Ozzie's return. Just a quick overview on some of those guys.
Yeah, so well, he hasn't had a strong year as well. The power's been there in terms of the home runs, but the average and everything else hasn't been there. He's lost playing time, obviously, the last few games. Snit's going with the hot hand. You know, a guy like Robbie Grossman's playing really well. Vaughn Grissom's playing really well. And, you know, this happened last year, whether it was Jock was starting for us and Eddie Rosario was on the bench. And then eventually, you know, that was flipped where Jock sat and Eddie Rosario played. You know, so I think, you know, Snit, the one thing he's been very, you know, he's done this each year. He's playing the best player. So the guys that are playing the best, that doesn't mean that guys can't bounce back and get hot. Like I said, Jock lost his starting job, and he was an all-star this past year. So, you know, I think with all these guys, Orlando, RC, Ozzie, and so on, as they come back, we'll find a way to make things work. But even though we talk about what are we going to do 3 weeks from now, 4 weeks from now, when guys get back, we always remind ourselves that things are going to change. Someone's not going to perform. Someone's going to get hurt. And some of this takes care of itself. So you'd love to have an issue where you have too many good players and you don't have playing time. That's a great problem to have. And obviously, I hope we're going to have that discussion about playoffs and so on. I still have the mindset of we need to get in.
Yep.
And I know how quickly things can change. So I never assume anything, even though we're playing well and we're in a playoff position now. I still never lose sight of the fact that it could vanish at any time, and we need to continue to keep our foot on the gas.
There you have it, man, from the Steakhouse, 9 to 11 right here on 92.9 The Game. We'll come back with some guy talk on Dukes and Bell. Further proof down on the Gulf Coast that the ocean is the shark's house.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Did you know you can listen to The Game on any smart-enabled device you own?
Just ask your smart device to play 92.9 The Game.
Wow, look at that. That's freaking awesome.
Powered by Dell Technologies. Call 877-ASK-DELL.
Listening to The Game just got a lot easier.
Accessibility. There you go, accessibility.
Try it now.
Just ask your smart device to play 92.9 The Game.
From Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Now, your game traffic. 92.9 The Game's Traffic Center, brought to you by Bader Scott Accident Attorneys. Call Bader Scott, 404-888-8888. That's 404-888-8888.
I'm Abby Ryan from the Game Time Traffic Center. Traffic brought to you by Georgia Aquarium. I've got a crash with injuries. This in DeKalb County, right at Clifton Church Road at Boulder Crest Road. DeKalb also crashed with injuries. Brown Mill Road at Highway 212 at Browns Mill Ferry, east of Klondike Road. Watch out for the delays with this one. Marietta, stall I-75 northbound in the express lanes at North Marietta Parkway, exit 265. Your right lane is affected. Crash in Atlanta, northbound I-75-85, just south of 10th Street, which is exit 250. Crash moved off to the right shoulder, but those delays, yikes. Lithia Springs crash, I-20 westbound at Thornton Road, exit 44. Your two left lanes are blocked. Avoid the delays and use Highway 78 instead. From the Game Time Traffic Center, I'm Abby Ryan on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
The groundbreaking advanced FUE treatment from Advanced Hair is finally available in Atlanta. Listen, you can address receding, balding, or thinning with Advanced Hair's simple one-day treatment that begins to regrow your own natural hair the very next day. It's Carl Dukes. Listen, our hair is an important part of our identity, right? It plays a significant role in self-esteem, confidence. Advanced Hair's top-rated physicians have changed tens of thousands of lives with their breakthrough technology. It can even work when the pills or the lotions or the caps or the potions didn't provide the tangible results you had hoped for. Advanced Hair's industry-leading guarantee offers the assurance you need to address hair loss once and for all. Celebrating the long-awaited Atlanta grand opening with $250 off and 250 free hair grafts, find out if you qualify with a free consultation. All you need to do is call 470-660-HAIR. That's 470-660-4247 or go to advancedhair.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for fun. It's time for guy talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Yeah, man, let's get right to it. Since steak took all our airtime, cha-cha. It is brought to you by our buddies over at, Twin Peaks. We're back. You know, we've been on the northeast side for so many weeks. Now we're going to be on the north-northwest side. We're going to be over at Twin Peaks, guys, in Kennesaw, right off of Barrett Parkway, tomorrow, 2 to 7.
Twerk contest.
Hey, man, Dukes and Bell, Hey Man Ale from Oconee on tap.
I'm joking.
And plenty of shenanigans on tap as well. Hey, man, Love Orange. Love Orange Beach. Love the shenanigans down there on the Gulf Coast. One thing you got to notice, though, and we've seen this on the East Coast and the Hamptons and Jacksonville off of Fort Lauderdale Beach, the ocean remains the shark's house. In this case, footage, which has gone viral, of a hammerhead shark eaten stingrays. Stingrays right next to the people in the water off Orange Beach.
Oh, man, those hammerheads are the real deal.
We have them. When I go down to Naples, we were on the boat a couple of years ago. We got out of the boat, and we're all floating around on noodles out in the Gulf. And literally, about half a mile away, a hammerhead was eating tarpon in half. And yeah, then I was like, maybe we should go on the intercoastal side.
I know. Yeah, so, when you see that, man, yeah, it'll freak you out because those cats are – they're out there hunting for real, Mike.
You got a woman on the – there's always somebody in the video. There's always, oh, my God. Oh, my God. In this case, you got a woman that says, girl, you better get your ass to the shore.
Come on, man. That music still scares me.
It's amazing. The video is out there. It's a Texas tourist named Catalina Peak.
Put that on at the beach, Mike, and see what happens.
Someone else is screaming, Discovery Channel! Really? That's what you're going to shout? I mean, get out of the water. Sit there and shout Discovery Channel. At least a woman said, girl, you better get your to the shore. It was on point.
Yes, for real.
Discovery Channel! You're not helping me.
Is that person filming this, by the way?
There's a
That's
million.
The same person, right?
Oh, look how cool. Look how big. Oh, my God, somebody says. Poor little stingray, says someone else. Yeah, okay, poor stingray. Get out of the water.
That's crazy. And those stingrays can get huge.
Yep. But and again, you do the stingray shuffle, by the way, to avoid getting hit by the stingray. But then, of course, more importantly, watch out for the hammerhead shark eating the stingray.
Yeah.
But again, summertime, the water even gets warmer everywhere around the Gulf. So, I mean, just be careful out there. You can swim naked. Make it easier
on the
shark.
By the way,
one less thing to eat.
You've answered that question about what eats a stingray.
Yes, everything.
Right?
Anything bigger.
Yeah, when you see one of those, you're like, man, what eats that? Hammerhead.
Speaking of viral video today, just Google L.A. traffic accident naked man. Two-vehicle accident near Van Nuys off Victory Boulevard. Pickup truck hits another car and goes into the curb. Minor fender bender, minor damage. And then the guy in the blue truck slides over and gets off the passenger side, and he's completely naked. And
what?
He's completely naked, holding some clothes in front of him, which he then promptly drops and then just walks up Victory Boulevard naked in the middle of the day at 12:30 in L.A. Or as they say in Los Angeles, a Thursday.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, I guess LAPD was late on the arrival. Nobody was charged there. Speaking of law enforcement.
Well, they couldn't get there because of the traffic.
It's true.
I mean, come on.
One out of 12. See the naked man. Speaking of cops, Georgia State Patrol, Carl, don't you think they've got the nicest of, as far as law enforcement, that's a pretty good looking car, isn't it?
Are you in trouble again?
No. Why would you think that I'm in trouble with a speeding ticket or something?
Well, you're complimenting the cars.
I've always felt that the Georgia State Patrol combination of the blue and gray is a very nice combination. I think it really pops when the sunlight hits it.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything. There's a contest for the best looking state trooper car. Okay. And if I can help the Georgia Highway Patrol win this bad boy, I think we're doing a service to the guys that wear the hats and all that.
His PBA card expired. Come on, Carl.
I thought you might have blown by one or something.
Nope. But there is a link I put it up at Mike Bell, ATL, I guess the Association of State Troopers. Not all the states compete, but basically there's really nice shots. And they have a Georgia, somewhere I guess down in Savannah, because they got a Challenger and a Camaro.
Oh.
Which I guess they commandeered in the Georgia State Patrol colors. Look freaking awesome. So check it out at Mike Bell ATL. And if you want to vote for your boys, you can go do that. And they're going up against a lot of the cops from around the country and some really cool dramatic shots of the cop cars.
Okay. Listen, I do agree with you. I think the Georgia State Patrol, right, the men and women are amazing, and their vehicles do look tight.
Also, I think the Florida Highway Patrol does a really nice job as well with their tan and black combination as well.
Okay, I know you've done something down there.
No, just please. All my tickets are paid in full. Hey, I don't have audio of this. Maybe by tomorrow's show we'll get it for you later because I couldn't find it online. But the Dodgers, like sort of sideline feature reporter David Bassey, who does a lot of interviews, does stuff for MLB Network, he decided to go down Bernie the Brewer's slide at Miller Park. And so he's got the microphone and he's live, and they tape this report. And here he goes, all right, I'm going down the slide. They put a towel under him so he wouldn't catch himself on his belt or his shoes as he goes down Bernie the Brewer. For those who are not familiar, Bernie the Brewer, their mascot, goes down this twisty slide anytime there's a Brewer's home run. Well, it all went perfectly well from the start until the end when he landed, and then this happened. Thanks, Chris.
Bassey has been talking for 3 days about going down the slide here in Milwaukee. I've never heard somebody so excited about doing anything, and David did do it today. Watch.
All right, here we go. Holy crap! Holy crap! Holy crap! Holy crap! Holy crap! Holy
crap! What happened?
He broke his arm.
Oh!
Dude, he breaks his right arm. I mean, he lands hard. I guess the towel was not the right thing because it actually made it go faster. And so this dude, when he landed, he just wails right into the barrier and breaks his right arm.
He tried to beat it. He breaks his arm.
Yes, he goes, I tried to Shaqton and slide once, or Shaqton the Fool.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Holy crap! Holy crap! Holy crap! Holy crap! Holy crap!
Oh, the video is pretty good. I mean, it's worse than it sounds, actually.
Oh, that's hilarious. I mean, I feel bad for him, but it's funny as hell.
He's not a method actor that actually went down. Hey, man, real quick, we'll talk more about this later in the six. Big Ten, by the way. We were talking about TV contracts last week. SEC is not the top dog right now. Big Ten has completed a new 7-year media rights deal. CBS, Fox, and NBC all get a piece of the action, valued at more than $7 billion, ESPN.com is reporting.
Listen, Big Ten is making a lot of loot. Now, we can talk about, you know, who the king is and where it's more important and it means more in the SEC. But, Mike, that's a monster deal. And part of this is, Mike, do they secure this deal without UCLA and USC joining the Big Ten?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
L.A., baby, number two market in the country, man. Speaking of making loot, see what we did on Wall Street today with our closing bell. All right. NASDAQ, S&P 500, slightly higher. Summer rally is grinding right now.
Let's go!
NASDAQ up 27, S&P was up about 10 bucks. Dow Jones only up 18, but it beats losing money. Just real quick, a couple of birthdays, but some big ones. Patrick Swayze would have been 70 today, Carl, here on August 18th.
One of the best, man.
Such a likable dude. I got so much respect for him. He actually did the skydiving stunts in Point Break. Just seemed like a good dude.
Talented,
by all accounts.
Yeah. He was talented.
Hey, one of my old man's favorite guys. Never got to see him play. Roberto Clemente would be 88 today.
Mm.
He died trying to help out Nicaraguan earthquake victims in a plane crash. It was overloaded with supplies when it went down off of Puerto Rico. Robert Redford is 86 today.
Yeah. He was in the Marvel Universe. Obviously, he played in that. But I don't know if we've seen him in anything recently, but man, what about his career?
I watched the one where it's a one-man movie where he's on a boat, on a sailboat, and he's going through all this stuff.
Okay.
And it's a little tedious at times, but it's not bad. I did my top five Robert Redford movies. Some guys had The Sting in there. I like The Sting, but I'm a big fan of the old stuff. Butch Cassidy, Sundance Kid as well. 3 Days of the Condor, All the President's Men. I put The Natural in there. And instead of The Sting, which was one of my dad's favorites from the early 70s, a movie called The Candidate. You can find it maybe on Netflix. Look for it. Unbelievable. And it's still true today. All the crap that goes on behind the scenes in politics.
The
good movie. Hey, man, Edward Norton, Don't Call Me Ed, was in studio with us. He's 53. Roman Polanski is 89, should be in jail. Let's see here. Dennis Leary is 65. Malcolm Jamal Warner is 52 today.
Oh, man. Cosby Show.
Right.
Yeah, Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Yeah. Kenny Skywalker is 58, born here in Georgia.
Great Jeremy nickname, by the way.
Shockey is 42. And Cameron Smith, who may go to live golf. He is 29 today. Lewis of the Lewis and Clark Expedition, also born today. One last nugget. On this date in 1992, the back aches just got too much. Larry Legend, Larry Bird, hangs him up.
Yeah. Tough, man. One of the greats. Coming up, Falcon Report. We're going to talk about a guy that I've said, I don't know if he's going to be here. Well, now it looks like he might be here. But is he going to play and have a contribution to this team? It's Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.